Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 66. From these thy children gathered in thy name, from hearts made whole, from lips redeemed from woe, thy praise, O Father, shall forever flow. Alleluia, alleluia. Hymn number 66. Scriptural will be given by Dale from Virginia.
Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 1 Corinthians. Let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Acts. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven,
our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 142. Immortal love, forever full, forever flowing free, forever shared, forever whole, a never ebbing sea. Hymn number 142.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and other topics that need to be covered and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets every Sunday at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about everywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. And many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, but rather attend via telephone. And that means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend by telephone. Just call us, we'll give you the number, and our teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can share and hear testimonies of healings through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we do have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do attend in person, bring the whole family. Everyone is welcome. We have 18 different websites in different languages, and each website contains the very finest of Christian Science literature. And as we have said many times, we are very grateful for those of you who have found one of our websites and have found Christian Science and have found our church and have been healed and blessed by this tremendous science. And everything that we offer on our websites is offered free of charge. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And that is why we are very grateful to those of you who contribute financially to this church, to this great cause that we are about. And we're very happy that you do so. So thank you very much. One of the articles that is currently featured on our English website, I'd like to point out, by a good old-time worker, Herbert Eustace, entitled The Nature of God and Man. It's not a long article, but it says a lot. I recommend it very highly. The Nature of God and Man by Herbert Eustace. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will now be given by Jeremy.
Page 430. Some of the experiences given in the journal have been so helpful to me. I have been moved to give to its readers a little experience of my own, which occurred when I first began the study of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I had already been healed of sick headache almost instantly by declaring that I was God's child, and as God is perfect, his child must be perfect also. This had given me great happiness and a quiet, peaceful state of mind I had never known before. My family did not seem to see any good in Christian Science, but to me it was sacred. One Monday morning, I awoke feeling very ill indeed. The morning was warm and sultry. I thought I certainly could not wash that day, but when I went downstairs, I found my daughter had made preparations for such work. I thought, well, if she feels like washing, I will not say anything. Perhaps I shall get this over with. After breakfast, I went about my work, thinking I could lean against the tub and wash with more ease than I could do up the morning work. I tried to treat myself as I had done before, tried to realize that all is mind, there is no matter, that God is all, there is nothing beside him, but all to no purpose. I seemed to grow worse all the time. I did not want my family to know how badly I was feeling, and it was very humiliating to think that I must give up and go to bed. All at once, these questions came to me, as though spoken by someone, taking me away from my line of thought entirely. How is God an ever-present help? How does he know our earnest desires? Then, without waiting for me to think how, the answer came in the same way. God is conscious mind. Instantly the thoughts came. Is God conscious of me? Can I be conscious of him? I was healed instantly. Every bad feeling was destroyed. I could see that the morning had not changed a particle, but I was oblivious of the weather. It did not seem that I had anything more to do with that washing. It was finished in good season, while I was absent from the body and present with the Lord. That was the beginning of the battle with sin and self, but at the same time, it was the dawning of the resurrection. Since then, over 4 years, I have had many experiences, some of which seem too sacred to give to the world. False literature has caused me much suffering. Sorrow has visited my home. But through all this, the light that came to me that Monday morning, that new and precious sense of omnipotent life, truth, and love, has never left me one moment. It was a light that cannot be hid. Mrs. H.B.J., Cambridge, Illinois.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 12 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Adam and Fallen Man. The golden text is from 1 Corinthians. This mortal must put on immortality. The responsive reading is from Isaiah and 2 Corinthians. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Matthew. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, 'Go,' and he goeth, and to another, 'Come,' and he cometh, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. John. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Romans. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. 1 Corinthians. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. His origin is not, like that of mortals, in brute instinct, nor does he pass through material conditions prior to reaching intelligence. Spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. God is his father, and life is the law of his being. For right reasoning, there should be but one fact before the thought, namely, spiritual existence. In reality, there is no other existence, since life cannot be united to its unlikeness, mortality. Being is holiness, harmony, immortality. It is already proved that a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. To emphasize this momentous thought, it is repeated that God made man in his own image to reflect the divine spirit. The life-giving quality of mind is spirit, not matter. The ideal man corresponds to creation, to intelligence, and to truth. The ideal woman corresponds to life and to love. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Divine love blesses its own ideas, and causes them to multiply, to manifest his power. Man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in heaven and earth, himself subordinate alone to his Maker. This is the science of being. Genesis 2:6. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. The science and truth of the divine creation has been presented in the verses already considered. And now the opposite error, a material view of creation, is to be set forth. The second chapter of Genesis contains a statement of this material view of God in the universe, a statement which is the exact opposite of scientific truth as before recorded. The history of error or matter, if veritable, would set aside the omnipotence of spirit. But it is the false history, in contradistinction to the true. The science of the first record proves the falsity of the second. If one is true, the other is false, for they are antagonistic. The first record assigns all might and government to God, and endows man out of God's perfection and power. The second record chronicles man as mutable and mortal, as having broken away from deity, and as revolving in an orbit of his own. Existence separate from divinity, science explains as impossible. The second record unmistakably gives the history of error in its externalized forms, called life and intelligence in matter. It records pantheism, opposed to the supremacy of divine spirit. But this state of things is declared to be temporary, and this man to be mortal, dust returning to dust. In this erroneous theory, matter takes the place of spirit. Matter is represented as the life-giving principle of the earth. Spirit is represented as entering matter in order to create man. God's glowing denunciations of man, when not found in his image, the likeness of spirit, convince reason and coincide with revelation in declaring this material creation false. This latter part of the second chapter of Genesis, which portrays spirit as supposedly cooperating with matter in constructing the universe, is based on some hypothesis of error, for the scripture just preceding declares God's work to be finished. Does life, truth, and love produce death, error, and hatred? Does the Creator condemn his own creation? Does the unerring principle of divine law change or repent? It cannot be so. The standard of perfection was originally God and man. Has God taken down his own standard, and has man fallen? Jehovah declared the ground was accursed, and from this ground, or matter, sprang Adam. Notwithstanding, God had blessed the earth for man's sake. From this it follows that Adam was not the ideal man for whom the earth was blessed. The ideal man was revealed in due time and was known as Christ Jesus. Through discernment of the spiritual opposite of materiality, even the way through Christ's truth, man will reopen with the key of divine science, the gates of paradise, which human beliefs have closed, and will find himself unfallen, upright, pure, and free, not needing to consult almanacs for the probabilities either of his life or of the weather, not needing to study brainology to learn how much of a man he is. Learn this, O mortal, and earnestly seek the spiritual status of man, which is outside of all material selfhood. When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign in the real man, showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Revealed religion proclaims the science of mind and its formations as being in accord with the first chapter of the Old Testament, when God, mind, spake, and it was done.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 406. O love, our mother, ever near, to thee we turn from doubt and fear. In perfect peace our thoughts abide. Our hearts now in this truth confide. Man is the child of God. Hymn number 406.
Thank you. be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be.
Amen. Let's now sing hymn number 324. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Hymn number 324.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.